Thank you, Gordon. I sound like my mic is working. It is good to be with you here today. It is good to see each one of you here. The title of my sermon today is Time. And I'm going to talk about that a little later. But first, I want to begin with the story. A couple of weeks ago, Brian and I took a trip to Poland to meet with a man. And this man had been in correspondence with Buzz for quite some time. And then during this last year, Brian took over that correspondence with him. And this man wanted to be baptized. So we went there to meet with him. And we'd never been to Poland before, as most of us probably haven't. And we really didn't know what we would encounter. We know that Poland is an Eastern European country. And that they had been recently beginning some threats from some of their neighboring Eastern European countries. And as we know, in that area, with the war in Ukraine, there's a lot of turmoil going on there. And this man gave Brian instructions on how to get there. And they seemed simple enough. And he also said that, you know, the people in that area spoke English, so, you know, that wouldn't be a problem, which that sounded good. First thing he told us is you need to fly to Poznan, Poland, which is not a problem. We arrived there. We came out of the terminal, and the next instruction was take a bus to the train station. You can take a taxi, but don't go there. They're too expensive. We go outside. No buses. We wouldn't have known how to get a ticket anyway for a bus. We get in a taxi. Away we go to the train station. And this man speaks a little bit of English. Not much. But he certainly knew where the train station was. And he gave us one piece of advice. We come to this train station. I mean, this is a bustling place. There's a big building there. I mean, there's trains, there's people, there's everything. It's just a happening place. And he told us one thing. Go upstairs in that building to get your tickets. Okay, that was our next assignment. You need to get a train ticket to KRZYZ, I'm going to say Kriz, Wielkopolski, okay? We looked on a board. There's a big board there, and it's got 20 different trains just going all over the place. And we see, sure enough, there it is. You know, we're downstairs. We go upstairs. This is a big train station. There's six lines there. You know, they all got stuff written above them in Polish. We have no idea which line. We pick a line. Go up there. Do you speak English? No. I thought perhaps the train station somebody would speak English. She said, no, I don't speak English. So Brian gives her the name of where we need to go. And I could see on the computer screen that it said 1502. And we're at 1440, you know, in 24-hour clock. So I see we got, you know, 20 minutes. So I knew the time. And she told us platform 10. Okay? And that's basically all we got out of her. And we bought our ticket. Our ticket did not tell us anything that we could understand. So away we go, dragging our luggage to try to find platform 10. Up and down stairs, and we finally get there to platform 10. And there's a man, and there's another train sitting there. We have no idea when ours will be here, which direction it will come. And Brian tries to ask him, and he just kind of, he points here, you know. So we stayed there and waited. And the train came. It said that name on it. And we thought, okay, well, we're doing pretty good here. So we got on the train. So that was our next instruction, to get on the train and go to this Chris, and then you take a bus to the hotel. You take a taxi, but don't go there, they're too expensive. And we are expecting, when we get to that place, we're expecting something like what we came from, this big bustling train station. That was not the case. We got off of that train, three or four people got off with us, and almost immediately disappeared. It was a huge concrete barren platform. There was one building where we got off the train that was a skeleton of a building. I only can assume that it was been there since World War II. And there was another more modern building. So we were assuming, you know, we're going to be able to go into that building to find a taxi or something. Well, we walk into that building. It has several windows. It looked like they were probably ticket windows. All of them have iron sheets down. There's nobody there. We walk outside, and it looks pretty bleak. We look to the left. To the left of us, there was two train tracks and a forest. Okay? We look to the right. There's at least six train tracks and buildings over there, but nothing commercial. Nothing commercial. And we're also standing here. You know, we have to go to the street. And, it's looking like we got to drag our luggage across there, you know. And we think, well, this is truly not right. And we've been focusing down, and we finally looked up, like 30, 40 feet in the air, there was a walkway. So we walked over there. And we got over there, and there's a street. And in the street, it had two spaces marked off. Both said taxi in them, but no taxi. Nobody around to help us. And, you know, it's kind of one of those moments in life. You know, we're abandoned in Poland. People don't speak our language. And we see, you know, we're going to be dragging luggage somewhere. We're going to be walking down that street for however far until we can find something. And then all of a sudden, a little Mr. Bean car came whipping around the corner and raced up there and parked in space number one of the taxis. We look at this car. Certainly doesn't look like a taxi. A little tiny car. It does have four doors. But, you know, the car's, you know, you could almost touch both ends. There's no signs on it, nothing. But fortunately, this man speaks two languages. Unfortunately, they're Polish and German. He doesn't speak any English. And we're saying, taxi, taxi, you know, taxi. And he's, I don't know, he's saying something. And we have no idea if this guy's a taxi or not. And, you know, you can actually communicate a lot by pointing and this and that. And finally, Brian showed him the hotel, the name of the hotel. And he looks at it. And he's shaking his head yes. Okay. Well, maybe this is a good sign. So he gets out, goes around in the trunk. The trunk is about this deep. Okay. He opens the trunk and starts unloading lumber. And, you know, this don't sound right. So he got the lumber shifted and put our bags in, closed the door. And we get in. This looks like our only hope. away we go. And, I'm expecting, I don't have any idea where the hotel is, but I'm expecting 15 minutes, you know. And an hour and a half later, we're still driving, and I'm beginning to wonder, you know, what is going on here? And this guy was a perfect tour guide. Brian was sitting in the front seat, and this guy is speaking Polish the whole way. This pointing out stuff, this and this, and Brian does what anybody would do that has no idea what the other person is saying. He'd say, or once in a while, you know. And during that whole trip, I understood three things of English. One, New York. He was talking about New York. He pointed out one of Hitler's bunkers, and he said one other thing, but I don't remember what that was. But after that hour and a half, we arrived at the hotel. Was this man a taxi driver? I don't think so. Was this man sent there by the Lord to pick us up? Probably so. You know, the Lord has always been mindful of us when we travel in these foreign countries. He has blessed us and protected us so many times. I could talk for hours on the strange things that have happened to us, but the Lord has always been there. I'll kind of give you the rest of the story with this man. We were able to talk to him for a couple days. We were encouraged with him about his belief in the church. He told us that he was in the Air Force Reserves. He actually called it active military. That's what they called it. He was really in the reserves, though. And he talked about trouble that they were having at the border at that time. And then one day, he was going to pick us up and take us to his village. And then the next day, we planned to baptize him. He didn't show up. We didn't hear from him. And late in the afternoon, he said that he had been called up into military duty. And that's all he could say. And we've been in correspondence with him a little bit since then. A week later, he was still in the service. I have no idea what's going on over there. Obviously, some things escalated. So remember him in your prayers. Hopefully things will work out sometime in the future. Now let's talk about time. It's kind of hard to grasp the concept of time. It is for me. Something you can't see, you can't touch, you can't hold in your hands. It's something I really can't describe personally, but I know it exists. The dictionary has 64 definitions for time. Here is the first definition. The system of those sequential relations that any event has to any other, as past, present, or future, indefinite and continuous duration regarded as that in which events succeed one another. I'm not sure if that definition makes it clearer or more confusing, but that's the first definition for time. We actually talk about time a lot. Probably don't realize it most of the time, but what time is it? I don't have enough time. I think we all say that. I'm out of time. It's time to go. What time? Where did the time go? It's time to start. Time's up. Why did you waste all your time? What time will we get there? How many times do the kids say that? When will we get there? Lost time wise. There's a long list of them. I want to go back to Genesis chapter 1. Back to creation. The first day of creation. Genesis 1:1-5. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. It says, in the beginning, that God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So God ordained from the beginning that part of our time on this earth would be spent in light and part in darkness. And I think there are many reasons for this. You know, our temporal needs, obviously, we need light to work, to go about our daily activities. And we need darkness to sleep and to recover from our work. I think for most of us, I know I've worked shift work sometimes, and for me it's hard to sleep in the day. In 2 Nephi chapter 1, verse 81, "For it must needs be that there is an opposition in all things." And we can clearly see and understand the difference between light and darkness. They are opposite, aren't they? A good example of that. So spiritually, light and darkness are in total opposition. John 8, verse 12. "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." A clear difference, isn't there? Christ is the light of the world. And if we are following him, we are not walking in that darkness. We understand that this light is spiritual life, and that darkness is spiritual death. Eternally, again, this light and darkness are in total opposition. Matthew 22, verse 13. "Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." We know the scriptures talks about this in several instances, about this outer darkness. Nothing about that sounds good, does it? We know that's talking about the kingdom of the devil. Not a good place. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 23 and 24. And this verse is talking about the new heaven and the new earth that will come down out of heaven and this after the final judgment. "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it." Clear difference between darkness and light. The light of Christ. We can't even imagine what that could be like. If the Lamb will light it. What a marvelous and wonderful place that would be. We need to walk in this light of Christ. In Alma chapter 19, verse 38, it talks about this time. "Now whether there is more than one time appointed for men to rise, it mattereth not. For all do not die at once, and this mattereth not. All is as one day with God. And time only is measured unto men." So this time only applies to us, and this time we are here walking on this earth. We'll talk a little bit more about eternity a little bit later on. But all is as one day with God. Different, obviously. And you know, we have many measurements of time. We have a millisecond, which is 1,000th of a second. And it seems almost, why do we even need that? It's almost no time at all. I know in drag racing, where they're going 335 miles an hour, that often the races are won by 1/2,000 of a second. And even there was an instance where they were won by 1/2 of 1,000th of a second. 1/10th of a second. During the 2020 in the men's 100-yard dash, the difference between first place and last place was less than 2/10 of a second. It mattered there, didn't it? We have a second, 1,001, that's it. 1 second. Not much time. We'll talk about that later. We have hours, days, weeks, months, years, decades, centuries, millenniums. And it all flies by, doesn't it? These little increments of time in our lives. And we have infinite time, eternity. And we'll talk more about that later also. Here are some quotes about time. Time waits for no one. It's folklore. Lost time is never found again. Ben Franklin. Time is what we want most, but what we use worst. William Penn. Never leave for tomorrow what you can do today. The most precious resource we all have is time. Steve Jobs. The bad news is time flies. The good news is you're the pilot. Michael Altshuler. A man ordinarily has time to do all the things he really wants to do. I think that's very true. The things we want to do the most, we get done. Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. A very familiar scripture. When we're talking about time, this scripture is normally read. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. I think the Lord in this is telling us that all of these things are part of life. Expect them. They're part of life. And we will find time to take care of it. I found I found this article on the website. The title is The Importance of Time. 8 Reasons Why Time is Important in Our Lives. And I think this is pretty good. As I read it, you know, think about it in our how it applies to our spiritual lives. Time is a funny thing. Let's read this. Time is the most precious commodity anyone has, and yet we all waste it. We all waste it a lot. Time is important because we only have a set amount of it. We can always make more money, but no matter how rich or poor we are, we can't make more time. That's why it's critical to use your time wisely and make the most of every minute. Number one, time is a fundamental element of our existence. Just as we need air, water, and food to survive, we also need time. It's an integral part of who we are and how we experience the world. Number two, time is a precious commodity that we can never get back once it's gone. In today's fast-paced world, it's easy to lose track of time. We're always rushing from one thing to the next, and before we know it, weeks or even months have gone by. That's why it is so important to make the most of our time and not waste a single moment of this valuable resource. Of course, that's easier said than done. We all have busy lives with never-ending daily tasks, and it can be tough to find time for the things we really want to do. But if we want to make the most of our time, we need to find a way to fit everything in. One way to do this is to schedule our time wisely by setting aside specific times for different activities. We can ensure that we get everything done and still have time for fun and relaxation. It's easy to get caught up in worrying about the future or dwelling on the past, but if we focus on the present, we can make the most of every moment. Number three, time is the most important factor in achieving success. How we spend our time ultimately determines how successful we will be in life. If we want to achieve our goals, we have to be intentional with our time. We have to use it wisely and efficiently. That means making time for the things that are important to us and letting go of the things that aren't. And of course, the most important thing is eternal life. We have to remember it. That's what success is, to obtain eternal life, ultimately. Number four, the way we spend our time reflects our priorities. Our priorities are the things that are most important to us. They're the things we focus on and spend our time on, whether we realize it or not. The way we spend our time is a reflection of our priorities. If we want to change our lives, we need to start by changing the way we use our time. One of the best ways to do this is to set aside time each day for activities that are important to us. For example, if you want to spend more time with your family, you can make sure to eat dinner together every night. If you want to get in shape, you can set aside time each day for exercise. By making time for the things that are important to us, we can begin to change our everyday lives for the better. Number five, how to manage our time says a lot about our character. How we manage our time is a reflection of our character, our values, and our self-discipline. When we're able to effectively manage our time, it shows that we're able to set and stick to boundaries, that we're efficient and organized, and that we can handle responsibility. On the other hand, poor time management skills can indicate that we're disorganized and that we're procrastinators or that we lack self-control. In other words, effective time management is more than just a helpful life skill that we can always work and improve and improve. It's a window into who we are as people. Number six, time is a great leveler. It doesn't matter who you are, we all have the same 24 hours in a day. Have you ever noticed that some people seem to get a lot more done in a day than others? It can be easy to assume that they must have extra time on their hands, but the truth is, we all have the same 24 hours in a day. The difference is how we choose to spend our time. It doesn't matter who you are or what your circumstances are, we all have the same amount of time each day. What matters is how we choose to spend it. Number seven, time is a precious gift that should not be wasted. Time is one of the most precious gifts we can give to someone. That's why it is so important to make sure that we're not wasting our time on unimportant tasks or things that simply don't matter. So how can you gift someone time? Be with them in the present moment. Don't waste time scrolling through social media when you have limited time to spend with them to begin with. If you're the one who is always busy, make time for the people in your life that matter. Let them know that they are a priority to you. Number eight, everyone will eventually run out of time. If you're only looking for one answer to why is time important, this will likely be it. No matter how well we manage our time, everyone eventually runs out of it. It's an inevitability of life. Just as we are born, we all have an expiration date. And while we may not know when that day will come, we can be certain that it will arrive at some point and nobody gets additional time. While this may sound depressing, it's actually quite empowering. Knowing that we have a limited amount of time gives us a sense of urgency to make the most of the time we have. It encourages us to live life to the fullest and to pursue our dreams. So instead of dwelling on the fact that everyone will eventually run out of time, let's focus on making the most of the time we have. Who knows, maybe by doing so, we'll end up with more time than we ever thought possible. I think there's some interesting points in here. And I know if we, and this applies to all aspects of our life, but as we look at our time, we must make sure that the spiritual things are a priority. They've got to be a priority. We have to make time for them. Alma, chapter 19, verse 84. And thus we see that there was a time to repent, yea, a probationary time, a time to serve God. This is our time. This is the time we are living in, our probationary time, a time to be tested, to see if we're sincere. Are we converted to the Lord? Is He what's most important to us? This is our time. A time to repent. A time to draw close to the Lord. Alma, chapter 9 and verses 40 and 41. And we see that death comes upon mankind, yea, the death which has been spoken of by Amulek, which is a temporal death. Nevertheless, there was a space granted unto man in which he might repent. A space granted. This is our space in time. For thousands of years, people have had their space and time. And in the future, people will have their space and time. My space and time is coming to an end. My grandchildren's space and time is just beginning. All ordained by God. He put us here at this time. Verse 41. Therefore, this life became a probationary state, a time to prepare to meet God, a time to prepare for that endless state which has been spoken of by us, which is after the resurrection of the dead. A time to prepare to meet God. We're all going to meet Him face to face. Face to face. This is our time to prepare to meet Him. Are we ready? Am I ready? To stand before Him and give an account of myself? To prepare for that endless state? Our soul will live for eternity. Never die. And we're going to spend that somewhere. And the Lord has prepared a wonderful place for us if we are faithful to Him. Alma 16, verses 228 through 230. All three of these scriptures are very similar, but a little bit different. For behold, this life is a time for men to prepare to meet God. And behold, the day of this life is the day for men to perform their labors. And now, as I said unto you before, as ye have had so many witnesses, therefore I beseech of you that ye do not procrastinate the day of your repentance until the end. For after this day of life, which is given us to prepare for eternity, behold, if we do not improve our time while in this life, then cometh the night of darkness wherein there can be no labor performed. This is our time. This is the only time we have allotted to perform our labors. And he warns us here, doesn't he? Do not procrastinate. I could ask for a show of hands of how many procrastinate. I won't do that. I procrastinate. He's warning us in our spiritual lives. If we procrastinate till the end, it's too late. It's too late. If we don't improve our time in this life, then comes that night of darkness. We've already talked about that darkness. We don't want any part of it. We need each one of us look in our lives. Where are we at? What do we need to do? How do we need to spend our time? This is our time to prepare to meet God. Now I want to talk about that 1 second of time. Not very much time. But let's see why it is so important. I found this article on the internet. It's titled "The 1 Second Decision: How Navy SEALs Keep Going When They Want to Quit," by J.D. Meyer. Obviously, this article is written with a focus on a Navy SEAL, probably the most elite forces in the world, perhaps. But they are pushed beyond the limits of what most people can do, of what I could do. And even though they are an elite force and trained extensively and have gone through all of this stuff, there still is points when they don't think they can go on. I can fully understand that. The things they have to do. So we have to understand that this is the way this is written. For someone who is in a situation. I'm sure Aaron could tell us about some situations. Very similar to this. We've got to make that decision. But as we're reading it, think about how it can apply to our lives, our spiritual lives. We win or lose many of our most important choices in 1 second. In 1 second, when we are in extreme pain or fatigue, we give up. It's that split-second choice under high pressure that can block us from our greatest breakthroughs and victories. The 1 second decision is all about gaining control of your mind, putting things back in the proper perspective, and then saying, I really do want to be here. It is a mental strategy the Navy SEALs use to regain control of their thoughts, emotions, and actions, especially when faced with painful or extreme scenarios. By embracing the 1 second decision, you can build mental resilience and develop the ability to make quick, effective decisions, even in the most challenging situations. What is the 1 second decision? The 1 second decision is a decision-making strategy used to overcome obstacles and stay on track towards a goal. It involves taking control of your mind in moments of adversity or pain and making a conscious decision to stay focused on the task at hand because you really want what's on the other side. The 1 second decision emphasizes the importance of not giving in to immediate impulses or emotional reactions, but instead gain control of your thoughts and choose a deliberate, rational response based on what you really want beyond this moment. This practice can lead to increased resilience, mental toughness, and ultimately long-term success. So we see, even with these elite forces who are trained extensively to deal with these things in life, these situations, there comes a time when they have to make that decision. And this can also work in our spiritual lives. To take that 1 second and decide not to give up. When we are tempted by the devil, take that 1 second to stop and focus on the Lord and decide to resist that temptation. You know, we may have thought about something, trying to make a decision on all kinds of things in our life. We may have thought about it for a long time or only a few seconds. But every decision we have ever made in life all comes down to that 1 second. Yes or no. 1 second. And make that final decision. Yes, I'm going to do that. No, I'm not going to do that. And the Lord will help us with those decisions. Pray to Him diligently. He will help us. He will help prepare us when we're faced with that. To be able to make the right decision. Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. This is our time. This is our allotted time on this earth. Seek Him. He's there, waiting for us, always. His arms are outstretched. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find Him, if thou seek Him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Can always find Him. He's not like the things of the world that come and go, good and bad. He's always good. He's always there. Always ready to receive us. Has that pure love for each one of us. Now let's see what the scriptures say about eternity. Mosiah 1, verse 97. The Lord omnipotent who reigneth, which was and is from all eternity to all eternity. Alma 9, verse 71. Or in other words, being without beginning of days or end of years, being prepared from eternity to all eternity, according to His foreknowledge of all things. God has no beginning of days or end of years. He is from all eternity to all eternity. We can't really comprehend this. For us, we are born on this earth. That is our beginning. Someday we will lay down this mortal body. But our spirit will live for eternity, just like God will live for eternity. This is our time to serve God, so that we can spend that eternity with our Lord. I thank You for Your time.